those S-curves.
Blog Talk Radio.
In the Newcastle area, but a good thing will break free on the other side of the I-90 and smooth into Bellevue. Stay tuned, coming up next. After the news and weather, it's 2 hours of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And in the first hour, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By and Discover Your Crystal Family. More on that after the news and weather. Find out. Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Following weeks of Russian attacks, one Ukrainian city is facing a complete evacuation. Mariupol's mayor said the city is now in the hands of the occupiers. The U.S. State Department issues a warning for people traveling to parts of Mexico. Eddie McCubbin reports.
The warning is for Baja California, particularly Tijuana and Ensenada, after a rise in crime, including homicide and kidnappings. The State Department says travelers should stay on main highways, travel during daylight hours due to ongoing crime.
A man is facing several charges after plowing into a homeless camp in Oregon, killing four people. Police arrested Enrique Rodriguez Jr. yesterday on charges including first-degree manslaughter and second-degree assault. South Carolina doctors and patients are busy holding clinical trials for a new cancer drug. Sarah Bartlett has more.
The FDA is approving the drug from the trials called Opdivo. The trials have been taking place at Charleston Oncology and Roper St. Francis Hospital with a drug that was paired with chemotherapy for early-stage lung cancer. Doctors say 17 patients took part in the trials with much success between 2017 and 2019. In many of the trials, nearly 1 in 4, or 24% of patients, saw their cancer completely gone. That's compared to just having chemotherapy where only 2% were cancer-free.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is participating in oral arguments remotely just days after he was released from the hospital following treatment for an infection. The 73-year-old was admitted March 18th after experiencing flu-like symptoms. Phil Collins and Genesis are commemorating the end of an era with a final concert in London. After a 14-year live hiatus, the band put on their last concert of the Last Domino Tour Saturday night, performing 23 songs in total. Collins has come out publicly with his health issues, saying he has nerve damage in his hands and has trouble drumming. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
When you buy health products, you can save up to 50% at VitaminLife.com, the world's largest selection of supplements, herbs, homeopathic, health and beauty products, and more. Choose from VitaminLife.com's 30,000 products from over 700 brands, including Solaray, Jarrow Formulas, New Chapter, Country Life, Source Naturals, Nature's Way, Enzymatic Therapy, Now Foods, Doctor's Best, and Aubrey Organics. Go to VitaminLife.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday, where we'll see partly cloudy skies with a few sun breaks. High temperatures around 57, 58 degrees. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies, lows back down to about 45. For Tuesday, partly sunny skies, high temperatures around 58, 59 degrees. Tuesday night, though, some light showers moving in to selected areas. Low temperatures back down to about 44. For Wednesday, more clouds and light rain showers expected. Highs around 53.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the new Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, me, Yvonne, and the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison's Life, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison's Life brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Life, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Don't miss Colette Marie Steffen on The Truth Is Funny, Shift Happens, every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Colette is a renowned energy worker here to help you see the serendipitous humor of the truth. It's funny. Tune in and laugh with Colette. Shift into your highest potential. Call into the show to work on your personal shift with Colette and visit thetruthisfunny.com to learn more about all the life-shifting services Colette offers.
As different layers of consciousness unfold in each show, you won't want to miss a second of this. Make sure to tune in to Transmutation Time, Energetic Alchemy for an Amazing Life, every month with Kelly Kay on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Kelly and the show, visit www.enlightenedmedicine.com. You have the power to turn trauma into transcendence. Come bring your shadow into the light so you can begin to truly heal and grow today.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring. And coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Hey, one of the things I want to tell everybody is this is also a live call-in show. And so 1-800-930-2819, because this is where you can get some readings, get some angelic magic, crystal magic, and we're gonna do this as we roll. So what do I mean by that? It's like, okay, like Catherine Hudson, my very special guest, I invited her back today. We tap into the energy of the moment. And for all of you out there right now, if you're anything like me and you're wondering what the heck is going on these days, we want to get you some help. So when you call in, we're going to be able to tap into whatever you might need. And we're going to do a little bit of healing for Chris Rock and Will Smith today. But before we get into that, I want to just tell you a little bit about my very special guest. And it's so great to have her back.
you know, when you think about what people do in the world and you take a look at their gifts, right, and you look at Catherine, right, and she and I, both corporate jobs, she was a Wall Street banker, hello, how the bleep did we get here? And how is it we're supposed to be able to help the rest of you understand that it doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you're in, it doesn't matter if you're me looking down a dark alley thinking, do I really want to walk down there because it's shorter and I'll be late for my bed at the Y, or you're having a great life and you want a promotion. Today, this is what we're going to do. See this? Discover your crystal family, working with stones and their weight angelic messages. But before we get rolling with that, this two Bronx native chicks here. Catherine, it's great to have you. Did you see the Oscars last night?
Oh, I didn't see it live, but I saw it on the replay. At least I saw that moment. And I'm not sure if it was blacked out in the States or bleeped out, but has been all over the news.
And you know what? It's unfortunate because, may I?
Yes.
It is really unfortunate because what happened last night was outside of that event. We had a number of firsts, and I want to talk about this for a minute before we get down and dirty on this, right? Because we need to do some angelic shifting and crystals, and I'm actually sitting in a different room. I've never done a show from this room before, but I decided to do this from this room before. This is my sanctuary. I have a sanctuary. This is like my little space. And believe it or not, in this little room, I've created spirituality and exercise. I'm not going to show you the other side of the room, which is that part. But what happens in the world, and this is so pivotal for what we're doing today, is we focus on the incidents of craziness. Like, I just want to say, Mark and I did a show with one of the parliamentary members of the Ukraine 2 weeks ago.
Beautiful.
He is now has a gun, and he is fighting for his life. And when you tune in, that's why we're going to do some crystal work today and angelic messaging with you today.
Great.
When you read the headlines that Mr. Zelensky has to come to the table and yield, has to come to the table and negotiate for his own land and country, there's something off for me. There's something off for allowing incidences like that to go without consequences. And yet we're trying to raise children and grandchildren to understand the consequences of their acts.
Right.
You know, my friend works in Washington, D.C. I have a friend who works in D.C. And I was talking with her several weeks ago. And I asked her, how's it going? And she says, the public will only get a small portion of what happened at the Capitol that day unless the public demands that they hear it all. And we don't want to. Like you and me, we thought that moment at the Oscars was a joke. Two guys joking around like a joke. But let me ask you this, Catherine, because part of what happens with that is it takes away from all of the firsts, all of the moments, all of the moments with an actor from the movie Coda winning an Oscar. And if you've watched the acceptance speech, you're crying. But let's talk about how one incident, can overshadow great work. I mean, honestly, nobody's talking about Jessica Chastain, who did a portrayal of Tammy Faye that you would make you just drop your teeth and your drawers at the same time.
That's right.
Let's talk about what we can bring in today to help people rise up.
Yeah.
And then somebody got to go to therapy.
That's all I'm saying.
maybe we all did.
Well, that ship has already sailed for me. But thank you and welcome to the show. I wanted you to comment on the power of the work that you do. I mean, you and I, two girls from the Bronx, highly unlikely that we're sitting here talking about crystals and whatnot. But that moment last night, I had a few Bronx moments like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the second time that Will Smith, who I normally would have imagined to be quite the gentleman, at least as he would present himself in public, when he screamed the second time, that's when I knew it was for real. And it was something more, something deeper, something more innate, savage, and this expression of outrage.
Yeah.
Coming from a place and maybe not exactly in balance with the occurrence, although the occurrence was incorrect also. Mm-hmm. I'm with you entirely with regard to the fact that that is what everybody here in Europe anyway is talking about today. And there were so many firsts.
Yeah.
And there was the female director, two female directors 2 years in a row. And it was the second time this one has won an Oscar. And there was a performance, and Tammy Faye. I was so surprised to have been so moved. So there were these stellar moments, but they've been overshadowed. And I cannot help but draw the parallel to what's happening in individual lives of the people that I'm seeing in sessions and in classes, and what we're seeing globally. As humanity is stretching towards light, darkness is reacting and distracting.
Yeah.
So turning us away from... And so we're being pulled down effectively. And, of course, you know, the media plays into this because it's that lower energy that's going to sell advertisement, et cetera, et cetera. But aren't we all a little bit horror-struck? I mean, I saw it, too, and normally I would not have seen that moment. So
you know,
negative things happen are distracting us from the beautiful and the pure and the light. It's the macrocosm, it's the microcosm of the macrocosm, and it's going on everywhere, and we can probably, everybody here, look and see examples of it in our own lives.
My God, you said the whole thing, and that's why we're doing the show today on healing. We're taking calls 1-800-930-2819. You know, I tell you, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's something about the Bronx. I mean, Ellen Smith is called, Ellen Stewart does a fabulous show. She's a recovery coach. But there's something that's groomed us. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't places like that. I don't know what it is about that part of the country or about that particular borough, right? Definitely a borough that has created the home of hip-hop, so many things, right? But I'll tell you what I want to talk with you about. I want to talk about moments from last night and from the world. My friends say to me, you know, Pat, it's interesting to hear you sometimes. You are such an advocate for peace, but when you get fired up, there are no compromises. And I said, you know, there are things in life that are not just. And yet, when you see them, we don't know what to do with them. That's why addiction is on the rise. That's why alcoholism is on the rise. That's why eating ourselves, you know, green is on the rise. That's where violence is on the rise. And what we have to do is discover healing power. And let's talk about that from your work. Tell me a little bit and tell all of us about how you've been able to help people step into the healing power of both crystals and these angelic messages, if you could.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the question. It's such a grounding question to start at the beginning. And of course, growing up in the Bronx, and I was there 70s, 80s, drugs, alcohol, I'm Irish on top of it, so a fair amount of pubs in the neighborhood. When one is sensitive, sometimes self-anesthesia without even knowing you're doing it sometimes is an option that becomes attractive. And it's absolutely what you're talking about in terms of eating and drinking and smoking and all of the too muches, these addictions that can help us to feel less the extremity of the situations that are around us. So that was the beginning of my path as well. And it was coming through and out of that path into something else, into myself, really, which has been just such a great blessing, and I'm so grateful. I feel like when you pass through a jungle, you do two things. One, you leave a path behind you, so energetically it's easier for others to pass through that jungle. And the second thing is, well, who's better able to accompany someone through a jungle than one who's already been through it? You know, we don't want somebody who's just read about a jungle. So I'm really fortunate to be able to work with people, and it's not just people who have recognized addictions, but the addiction to hiding from yourself, the addiction to wearing masks, the addiction to people-pleasing, the great fear that accompanies actually daring your own voice. And I think that's the gift of the Bronx. Daring your own voice and calling it as it is absolutely, I mean, it's why when I do my Instagram messages every day, I still call myself Bronx Chicken Paris.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I attribute to. Did that? Oops, I just did.
Probably Jenny will bleep you for saying it. But, and you know, everybody is showing up and trying to deal with things in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting to watch. One of my favorite up-and-coming, forget about up-and-coming. I mean, I just want to take a moment that to step back for a minute and let's just reflect on what you said. You know, I used to get teased a lot every time I said, people would say, where are you from? I would never say the Bronx. I would say New York, because the minute you say the Bronx, of course, especially before the hip-hop, right, where was hip-hop born? Okay, where was rap born? Okay, that could be debated between Compton and, you know, it could be debated. But I used to not tell people because it had a stigma.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? You don't hear people talk about gangsters from Queens, just saying.
No.
Or Staten Island.
Yeah.
Right? But here's what we know. Look at the power of one act. There's a takeaway from here that's got to help us heal.
Yeah.
And the question that comes up is, how do we do it?
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, last night, I just blew it off. I just thought those are two comedian-type guys. Really did. And I just thought, okay, that's just like a skit because the Oscars are full of that.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't. And when Coda, Apple, like, okay, whoever thought Oscars, Apple. See, this is a whole new world. Okay,
really
Oscars,
really
Netflix. But you see what the amazing firsts that are happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want us to be able to really look at things for what they are, learn from them, and certainly not have our children or even us as adults point to Will Smith and say, he did it, I can do it. But yet, we've got to have a pathway to guide us. And that's what I want to talk to you about this, because we have to put proactive tools in place. Isn't that what you've done? Isn't that what you do every day of your life? I mean, you work with people. And let's talk about that event. I thought about this last night, and I thought if I were to ask Catherine about this, I wonder what would be the form and color she would give me for that one incident. Because I got to tell you, watching Lady Gaga help Liza Minnelli. Now, for a lot of people, they don't know who she is. Maybe they're, you know, you don't understand the power of that woman.
Yeah.
That precious moment. So is it safe to say that the behavior of some folks in that global broadcast may be looked at as such beautiful moments. I mean, everything from the song, you know, the song that won the Oscars, right? I mean, everything from those two young artists that just beautifully stood there and accepted their Oscar for what would be Daniel Craig's last movie. And how about the op-ed that Timothée Chalamet wrote today, kind of in laughter and fun, because Dune cleaned up everything but could not get an actor nod or a movie nod.
Yeah.
And yet, we need to clear the energy that says violence is okay. I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's me doing it.
That's right.
I can't tell you how many amends I had to make for my childhood. Just saying. Right?
Just saying. Yeah.
Let's talk about how we heal this from your perspective, because this is where we got to go now.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's the action that we saw that everyone witnessed, and we saw somebody who's held in great respect to globally misbehave, big scale. Actually, the joke wasn't such in good taste, but Chris Rock, comics in general, good taste, maybe not their forte. The violence, either verbal or physical, never correct. But the fact that that is where all of our attention is being drawn. And then the takeaway from that, there is this beauty, and the beauty is marred by the act of violence. So there is humanity looking, if we can look at it on a vast scale, humanity, here's an event of inspiration, calling forth the creative, calling forth the awe, calling forth the love, you know, Lady Gaga and Liza Minnelli, this moment. And then there's one action that smashes it. So I see it every single day in the lives of people that I work with. And just in, you know, if you turn on any sort of a news outlet for 2 minutes, you see it. People stretching to the light and it being refused. The Ukraine, Zelensky, what a, who knew this great man in his situation? You gotta love it, dude. Facing the master, he's becoming almost a stereotype now. So as humanity is stretching towards our light, darkness is doing everything in its power to distract us and dissuade us and help us make us miss the vote, miss the point, miss the inspiration and the elevation. So for me, the way forward, and this is what I can only speak for myself, of course, and then this is what, of course, what I would share with people that come to me. I use the practices that ground me and that ground me in a frequency of love, that ground me and help me to say, even to people that, oh, la, 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 in the past, they would have pissed me off and got it good. Okay, I know where you're coming from. I know that there is a place of hurt that's making this come out of your mouth. So I'm not going to take it from me. I'm really sorry that you're
saying that. Well, here's what's so typical about it. And we've been doing a number of shows with people of the parliament of Ukraine, and we've been trying to get the women. And what we're noticing is in that country, there are parliamentary women and men, and they made great strides in equality. And it was very healing for them because of 2014. And everybody picked up arms, and powerful women and powerful men side by side. And it was so beautiful. And I remember, you know, I spent many years teaching and doing diversity training. I worked with sensitivity training. Okay, we did sensitivity training at a Columbia that was like, you know what that stuff was like, right? That's like close to crazy town training. And I remember sitting in a workshop one day for about an hour and a half with the guy's name was Harvey, you know, Lee Harvey. And he was a black man, sat up front in a wheelchair, wasn't very well, sat there, no expression on his face, and he would sit there for like an hour and a half, and then he would drop a line. And it would be a Chris Rock line. And it would probably be about one of the Asian women sitting in the room. Then he'd come pick on one of us other women sitting in the room.
Mm-mm.
You know, he would turn around to somebody and say something like, you know, are you queer? Right?
Just out of left field.
And so you don't see it happening, but he would look at the women, and inevitably, within a short period of time, the first man in the room would stand up and try to defend her. The second man in the room would stand up and try to defend her. And he was teaching us, and I'll tell you, by the end of that first day, I was like calling my mama, I was like calling my partner, I was like calling my therapist. And I called my boss, and my boss says, if you walk out of there, you don't have a job.
Yeah.
And I stayed. And I learned about myself.
Oh, my
God. Why look at how this, for me, you've got to know who Jada Pinkett Smith is. You've got to know this woman.
The whole world does.
Yeah. If she would have wanted to say something to Chris Rock, she'd have got her body self up there in his face and said something.
Yeah. And they showed her reaction on the clip here. And her reaction was like rolling her eyes and like, give me a break, but not deigning to offer it any more energy than that.
But when we come back from break, this is what I want to talk to you about. For those of you tuning in, this is what this is all about. Y'all can't see everything I got going on behind me. This is my sanctuary room. It contains gifts that I've been given, part of my indigenous training and culture. And that's my self-portrait. I made her. She made herself. I have stones behind me. When we come back, we're going to talk about healing, purification, getting ready for a mega year. This is a mega year.
Absolutely.
I got my chart done the other day by Monty, and I haven't gotten the recording yet. But I cannot not remember the image of my chart and what he was saying. But we have got to have coping mechanisms, and when we come back, let's do it.
Great.
Ken Humor... Question before break. Can humor flip it? If you read Emily Flake's article in McSweeney, the short monologue that Emily wrote, and she says, I'm Timothy Chalamet, and this was supposed to be my controversial Oscars night. And if you read that and you found some humor in it, did it shift you?
Yeah.
Did him talking about the fact that he wore lace, that his moment was stolen, not even to mention he wasn't even nominated, that's another story.
Yeah.
But can we replace anger? Can we forgive? Let's take a short break, everybody. I'm not going to do this. Catherine's going to walk us through it. She's going to pick some stones. She's going to get some messages. We're going to rock it here, and we're going to clear the air. Stay tuned, everybody. Benny, we'll be right back.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Curious about who the Holy Spirit is or whether or not the Holy Spirit is real, and even more so, how to connect with an invisible God on a deeper level. Join me, Dr. Lisa Kohut, on Making the Holy Spirit Famous every second and fourth Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Central Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to begin that relationship, to begin to deepen your relationship with the Holy Spirit. To work with me, go to HolySpiritCoach.com. See you soon.
So how do you value your self-worth? Join Dr. Pat and Sabrina Wright as they introduce Sabrina's holistic approach to self-care and inner peace. Get empowered to make decisions for yourself. Change your view of your own value and learn the tools for investing in who you're designed to be. Live the good life every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Dr. Pat Show featuring Sabrina Wright. To learn more, visit SabrinaIsWRIGHT.com.
Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm so thrilled to have, you know, my friend and colleague joining me here today, Catherine Hudson, Discover Your Crystal Family, Working with Stones and Their Angelic Messages. Now, we're going to talk about healing, and we're going to talk about her book, because her book is different. But what's really important, and what's really important is when we take a look at certain energies and healings, why do we pick certain things? You know, why is this in this room? You know, why is it I have more rock in this room? Mm-hmm. I do have crystals in here. I have rock. I have seashells. But let's talk about how we heal this, Catherine. Before we do, how do people get a copy of the book and how do they find out about you?
So the book is available on Amazon, easily accessible. I think it's still also in some major bookstores, some of the chains, so far as they exist. And my website's CatherineHudson.fr because I'm based out of France. I'm on Instagram. I do daily messages from the angels. I do them in French, but I also do them in English. There's a minute of each. So if you hear me speaking French, don't worry. English is right behind me. But, yeah, connecting with me virtually at a distance is how I do sessions with most of the people in the States. I do come back. I was just there for 3 months over the winter months. But usually I find myself on the East Coast. That could change in the future, and that's all that needs to be said about that. I'm findable. I'm very findable. I am super excited about the topic that you're bringing up. And would really rather talk about that than self-promotion, although I know that that's part of all of this game. The idea of being able to cut through the Will Smith moments of life and get through past it to the awe, to the beauty, to the inspiring and the uplifting is really what working with crystals is all about, working with angels is all about. And it's not for the Hollywood version necessarily, although, yeah, it's really for our own personal lives. But the invitation is to recognize that what happens in our personal lives is sending energy out into the whole world. Nobody is small. Everyone is bigger than you think. And so whatever our emanation is, whatever our experience is on a day, is going to have an impact, certainly and evidently, on the people that are around us, but even further out. I think COVID and things like, of course, the situation in Ukraine, even the fact that the cars in Paris last week were covered with sand from the Sahara Desert. So there are these events that happen that kind of are there to say, wake up, human beings. You're all connected, and nothing is isolated. Everything has this ripple effect. So being able to purify and clear the energy around us, to ground us, to make us strong and stable, so when the world is rocking all around us, our boat isn't flipped over, or, you know, that we have a more pleasurable ride, a peaceful experience, and we become at peace in the world. It seems to me that's what crystals are there for us for. And I don't think that that's an accident.
And let's talk about busting through some, let's do a little crust busting at the moment. And what I mean by that is we have so many stories. Matter of fact, I just text somebody that had this story earlier this morning, and healing is available to everyone. And while there isn't a blueprint, right, it's not like this, you have to put your elliptical machine together, and so therefore you have to take out that 50-page book and you really have to follow it and put the right nut and the right bolt together. See, and when it comes to healing, we tend to hesitate because, well, what if I pick a crystal that isn't the one that it's supposed to be? But let's just clear the record here.
Oh, absolutely. The beauty of it is, and that elliptical machine story just has me cringing. Never have I. No, go to a gym. Don't do it. The beauty of crystals is the simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And while one might walk into a crystal shop and ask a very well-meaning crystal shop worker or person, an expert, what stone is good for me, the stone that they will be attracted to might be helpful to you, but might not. Because our energy plays well with certain crystals and not others.
Yeah.
And the person in the store is going to pick the stone that they are attracted to. It's just as if you walk into a group, you don't know anyone in the room, there's going to be somebody that you're going to be attracted to and that you would rather say hello to, even if you're, you know, somebody who's not very gregarious. And there might be some people, I don't really want to go over there. And there's actually no judgment in that. It's rather neutral. It's just energy. Our energy is interacting already from the moment we enter, and it's pulling us towards people in the same frequencies, and it is sending us, repulsing us from those experiences that are probably disjuncted. So energy always keeps its equilibrium. The beauty of it is going into a shop with a clear intention, and I'd like a stone to help me with my Will Smith anger issues. And then you walk in open with that clear intention and allow yourself to be attracted. And maybe it would be an obsidian, which is a celeste. So the celestial eye obsidian, which is great for shadow work, and also for grounding and healing. Maybe, Will Smith, maybe that would be the thing. Or perhaps it would be a situation, you know, I just had this guy come up and smack me on a stage, so I'm going to walk into a crystal shop, and I'm just going to set my intention to find the crystal that will assuage the wounding that that dealt me. And I open my eyes, and maybe I will see the form of a heart, because the form also will speak to us. And this is also an obsidian, but with a silver sheen.
Yeah.
And so it's transforming the shadow into light. So Chris Rock, can't have this one, but I'm sure you can find one. Effectively, the idea is to have so much more faith in ourselves. Because if not everybody's attracted to crystals, but if you are attracted to crystals, there's a reason for it. And there's a crystal or crystals that are waiting for you. You may already have them in your house. People may have gifted them to you already. The book is called Discover Your Crystal Family, because you've already maybe got relations. It might be in the form of jewelry, or it might be in the form of a paperweight that you didn't really know what to do with it. And then suddenly one day, hey, wait a minute. What is this stone actually saying to me? How do I feel when I hold it? And so this is why I love your room, which has not just recognized crystals, which are crystals, semi-precious stones. I would say that all stones are precious. And all
I agree.
Stones, all
I
stones are carrying that energy of Mother Earth shells also. And so allowing ourselves, as I looked, which you said, this room is about just full of shells and stones.
I mean, honestly, if I went around the room, I mean, I don't know why I've done this. And let's talk about proximity of things for a minute.
Yeah.
This morning I woke up. I wasn't really thinking about Will Smith. I mean, it was like a passing thought. I held on to the moments, you know, of some of the presentations. I was so thrilled. There is like Kristen Stewart were even recognized. I understand why she didn't get it, because the movie that she was in, Spencer, was very difficult for people to watch that day in a life of, right? It was like not the movie that you want to go watch and feel like really great about, because who wants to really understand, right, like right the last day of a Princess Di's life? Now, nobody does. But her portrayal was wonderful.
She was.
And then despite Jane Campion's faux pas at the last award ceremony, honored again.
Yeah.
So many moments that women are being honored, and being honored by both men and other women. Nobody tops Halle Berry's acceptance speech for the SAG Awards. But I woke up this morning, and not until you just mentioned it, maybe you can comment on this, I realized I picked something here that has what I think is moonstone and citrine in it. And then my earrings are moonstone, and I had a citrine pair, but I didn't pick them. Mm. And I realized I sat in this room because I don't normally do the show from here, and I don't, because it was surrounding. And I had a friend of me say to me, you have so many crystals, and every time we ask you about them, you don't know anything about them.
Mm.
And this one in particular, and I don't know if I can hold it up. It's not quartz.
I can't. What color is it? Is it white?
It's white. Let me show you the profile.
Okay.
And people think it's quartz. I don't know what it is. But yet I put on moonstone today. I'm a feeling kind of person. It's okay that I don't know 100% what moonstone is, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that part of what we're talking about? We have to attract ourselves to the healing energies that intuitively are calling to us, right, Catherine?
That's exactly right. It's the idea is, you know, man gave names to all the animals. It's a Dylan song. And what we like to do is to put labels on it and names on it and understand what it is, and then we can put it aside because we've got that already in our pocket, and we move on to put labels on something else. And the idea here is to really develop the capacity to have confidence in our ability to choose. I mean, what made for the very subtle choice to not opt for citrine at the earrings? And one felt right and the other did not.
Exactly. I have both in my
hand. Okay, I have to analyze this now. No. Our instruments, our bodies know exactly what we need. They know exactly what we need. And so my argument is that we should be open to the possibility of playing more and analyzing less and getting into the habit of sitting with a stone in silence and seeing how it makes us feel.
Yeah.
And noticing that if there are 10 stones in front of us, there's going to be one that we're going to want to pick up first.
Mm.
And like this morning, there's going to be, I think I'm going to go with the moonstone earrings, even though I've got both on the pendant.
Yeah.
It becomes subtle. And as we have more and more confidence in ourselves, we align with what's the natural wisdom of the body, and then the doors fly off the handles. Then we're getting into where it's really a co-creation, where there's really a partnership.
And
I love it.
And I want to talk to you about one in particular, because it is an energy that a lot of people are attracted to. There's a lot of energies. Obsidian, I fell in love with obsidian in a, what was the class, geology class? I don't remember. It was so long ago. But if you walked into my office or even walked into my house, people love to give me amethyst. I have a amethyst geode. And my archangel happens to be Uriel. So let's talk about how you have partnered up gemstones and angels, especially that pair, because I don't think there's a mistake in those two. But there are some people that may think, I never thought like that dude would get amethyst. I thought that would go to like somebody else or a different archangel. Tell us about these pairings and why they're so powerful.
Yeah. So the first thing that I just want to mention is that when I was working at a bank in Manhattan, a woman came into the bank right off 42nd Street across from Grand Central Station.
Yeah.
And she came right up to me and handed me, I put my hand out to say, welcome to the bank. At first I was trying to dodge her. I didn't feel like working that day. I was a little hungover. But I extended my hand, welcome to the bank. I'm Catherine Hudson. How may I help you? And she did not take my hand. And she said, no, I'm here to help you. And she put this amethyst crystal in my hand.
Wow.
Saying, this will help you with your addictions.
Wow.
In my whole life, I was never shut up by anybody's comments ever. But there, I had nothing. The head was racing, and then finally, she's trying to sell it to me. This is the best I could come up with. So I lift up my head to say, excuse me, ma'am, we're serious business here. She was already at the door. So amethyst, which is also my birthstone, came into my life in a rather dramatic way when I think the universe and my soul level was just, okay, we've given her enough time. Let's get the show on the road. And so the pairing with Uriel, the fire, the transformation, the burning away of that which no longer serves when the time is right. So permitting that kind of, that alignment with the highest. So it's the fire of God. It's like the phoenix rising. To me, the pairing was evident. The reason that the book is proposing 15 crystals and 15 angels specifically is because I noticed one day that, that's funny, organically, I was teaching about crystals, and organically, I've been just guided, because I have a big amethyst geode in half, Pierre and Sophie, that had kind of inspired, I know I'm out on a limb here, but it is what it is. So I had been inspired to bring students in and give them 15 stones, basic, stones to work with in personal healing and helping them on their path. And then I noticed, wow, isn't that funny, in my Take Action with the Angels workshop, inviting angels into your life, I also was inspired to use 15 archangels. The archangels carry a quality of source. Each archangel carries a quality of source. And each stone carries a quality of source as expressed through the earth. So we've got earth and sky and different allies that can help us into the same experience or transformation. So for me, amethyst, which is calling us into alignment with the highest form of who we can be, but how do we get there? It burns away. It allows us to release that which pulls us down. To work with Uriel, who is the fire of transformation, it's just so clear. And so the book, I never write alone. I am always guided when I write. And well, that makes some people who know me since I'm young very uncomfortable. She was a banker before. Now she's a whack job. No, I'm not a whack job. And I'm much happier than I ever was. But it isn't territory that's commonly tread. And whether it's angels or whether it's crystals or whether it's Reiki or whether it's dancing or singing, every single instrument will find its own way of tuning and grounding and healing and letting go of that which no longer serves. So my books are simply that. They're books. Everything that I teach is coming out in books eventually. They come out in print first. But this is why Uriel naturally is aligned with amethyst. And I'm not surprised that you've got a bunch of amethysts around you.
Well, and I wanted to have you talk about it because what you do in your book is you help really bring the energies together, whether that be a stone, whether that be spirituality, angelic. But it's also a great way for people to know how to address something specific in their lives. And I think that's really why I really wanted you to come back, because whether it's looking at deepening meditations as you present in the book, and, you know, and thank you for so many pictures in the book. I think I thanked you last time about that. It's very, very odd these days to get a book that actually has color in it.
These are all my stones.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that.
My family.
And you have a section in the book on a wand. How to use a wand.
Yes, so important. Yes. I'm doing a Zoom class on wands this Sunday coming up.
Well, tell us how to find out about that and everything else. How did they join the Zoom class? Just, wow, that's powerful. Just on wands.
Give me an email. It's contact@katherinehudson.fr. And the Zoom classes, I do them regularly on angels, on working with energy, and on working with crystals. And, it's going to be rock and roll. We're going to be talking about transformation and fire, and we're going to be using the form of wands, any wand that you might have at home.
Oh, my God. I got a bunch of them. Yeah.
Yeah. We worked with geodes a couple of weeks ago as we were really reaching inward to healing and getting into that inner energy. But, I'm focusing on the different forms because it's the quality of the crystal, but also the form that it takes, which is often, not always, but often, what will draw us to one stone and not another.
Well, I did a refresher on your book because I'm getting ready to come up on what has been proven to be in my life one of the most powerful days of the year. I don't know why. It is a day that has demonstrated enormous opportunity and enormous pain. April 1st in 2004, I came down with a mystery disease. But April 1st has also some very special loving meaning. I don't know why this is my day or a day for me, but it requires a ritual. And you just presented a book and an opportunity for people to create the ritual for whatever they need it for, right?
Yeah. It's really the point of the book, although I do talk about some specific 44 of my favorites, although I love them all.
Yeah.
The book is really about how can I simply and easily enter into working with crystals at home. So you can try this at home, absolutely. And step by step, but not too many steps. You know, there's cultivating the capacity to be quiet enough to feel, because the only thing that's stopping people from feeling, if they're interested in crystals, they will feel them. And the only thing that stops us from feeling is this thing. But I don't feel anything. So the book is really, it's about going into those beginning steps, cultivating the confidence in our instrument for being attracted to and being attracted by working with crystals, and also deepening practices. So if you are doing crystal healing, there are some simple but super effective and efficient protocols in there. So it's really more a how-to book rather than a what is it book.
Yeah.
And
views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, over on I-5 northbound at the 520 right there at the milepost of 168, recent collision partially blocking the left-hand of the lane. It's response team and State Patrol have arrived on scene, though, and they are taking care of that collision. Stay tuned coming up next. After the news and weather, it's another hour of Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio Set 5 by Enredico, killing the mind virus that plagues our world, with special guest Paul Levy.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Former President Trump, more likely than not, attempted to obstruct Congress as he tried to overturn the 2020 election on the day of the Capitol riot. That's according to federal judge David Carter, who ordered 101 emails from Trump ally John Eastman to be presented to the House January 6th Select Committee. Based on that evidence, Carter wrote in his ruling that the former president corruptly attempted to illegally obstruct the joint session of Congress on January 6, 2021. The White House says President Biden is negative for COVID after returning from his trip to Europe. That negative test comes following both Press Secretary Jen Psaki and Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre testing positive after traveling with the president. President Biden will likely propose a new tax that would go after billionaires. Mark Mayfield with details.
CNBC cites documents that they've obtained, and they say the proposal will come when the president reveals his 2023 budget proposal. It would charge a 20% minimum tax rate on households worth more than $100 million. It is expected that half of the revenue will come from people worth more than $1 billion. A proposed levy is forecast to cut the deficit by roughly $360 billion in the next decade. I'm Mark Mayfield.
After the Academy Awards last night, according to the Los Angeles Police Department, Chris Rock did not want to file criminal charges against Will Smith after slapping him in the face on live TV. But legal analyst Danny Savala says it's not a hard case to make anyway.
You don't need the complainant to go forward. In theory, the LAPD could just subpoena Chris Rock and say, look, we want to go forward and we'll force you to come to court and testify. But frankly, they don't really even need testimony. Is there any question as to what happened? So from an evidentiary standpoint, this is not a hard case to make.
Savalas also says if Chris Rock wanted to sue civilly, he would have a suit against Will Smith, his wife, the Academy, and whoever didn't provide security at the venue. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For 35 years, Donico Pet Clinic has provided comprehensive care for the animals of people in need. Funded by donations and powered by volunteers, Donico Pet Clinic keeps overhead to a minimum to ensure healing is at a maximum. Please join Team Donico and make a difference in the lives of people and their animals. Volunteer or donate today. Donico Pet Clinic. Log into donico.org. That's D-O-N. N-E-Y-C-O-E.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see partly cloudy skies with a few sun breaks. High temperatures around 57, 58 degrees. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies, lows back down to about 45. For Tuesday, partly sunny skies, high temperatures around 58, 59 degrees. Tuesday night, though, some light showers moving in to selected areas. Low temperatures back down to about 44. For Wednesday, more clouds and light rain showers expected. Highs around 53.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I got to tell you, some days I have to pinch myself a bit. And I wake up with the realization, because I don't think about this that often. I don't think about forming a network, expanding a network. 20 years the Dr. Pat Show started out. I do think about crust-busting, though, Benny. I will say that. But I don't, it's not like every minute of my day is about that. But here's what I do think about. I think about the honor that the universe and spirit has bestowed on me that allows me to have conversations with people like my very special guest today, Paul Levy. And the one I just had with Catherine Hudson, right? But I think about how perfectly and divinely orchestrated my life has been, despite kicking, screaming, resisting, shadow, addictions, recovery, suicides in my family. And here we are. What it is that Paul is saying in this, his latest encounter, if I might say. And I think about these two words. I just love this. Now, this is not the only two words. We're talking about healing. Mind virus. I love that. Why do I love that? I don't know. Maybe today I just love it. But this is about looking at spiritual traditions, as Paul has done over and over and over again, and looking at the symbolization, looking at the pathogen, as he calls it, of the psyche. Yeah, that is like, so like, we got to put that like on a pathogen of the psyche. Because, see, the pathogen of the psyche showed up at the Oscars yesterday. Now, I know Paul is not here to talk about the Oscars with me, or maybe he is, but we are here to talk about something special. We are here, and I'm going to hold it up, right? And because, Benny, we have a copy of the book, and Jacob, can you all see that right there? I say Waikiko. I don't know if that's what it is, but that's the way I say it. Some people say we. I say we people. And this is a follow-up to a body of work that allows us to talk about what we cannot see, sort of a blindness, right? But it's more than that. It's how do we have this projection that comes forward, that fuels this with Tico. How has it been fueled? When we look at the events of the world right now, including last night, so when we look at COVID-19, when we look at the economic downturn, when we look at the war in the Ukraine, right? And the update that I want to give you is a parliamentary member, Uras, is now on the line. He's in the field, and he's got a gun in his hand, and he is fighting. So he's not doing a lot more interviews like the one he did. But when we look at this, what is the one thing that many thought leader scholars and my very special guest today would point to be the cure? You're going to be blown away when you hear it, because it is the thing that we get as children. We get this as children until somebody tells us no. Paul, great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here with you. Really, thank you so much for the invite.
I was reading through the book, and, you know, I love Larry, and I love the way that the book opens, right? I love the way that people are able to look at a body of work you've done. This is not new, but look at it and really acknowledge that you're taking this, and I'm going to call it an energy. You're taking an energy, energy, entity, whatever you're doing. You're taking it, and you're looking at where we are today, and you're saying, oh, I think I might know what's going on. Talk about Ritiko.
Yeah.
Let's introduce everybody.
Sure. Well, the thing about Ritiko, I mean, it's getting out all over the world. People are more and more talking about it, and it's an indigenous term that really connotes this cannibalistic spirit, kind of the spirit of evil, but I point out that it's quantum in nature, that it also includes hidden within it its own vaccine. And not only does it contain its own medicine, it's actually helping us to wake up if we recognize what it's showing us. But if we don't have the recognition of what it's offering us about ourselves, then it'll destroy us. So it can be likened to this, like you were saying, this virus of the mind. And so many people are talking about it. There's like a mental virus and at the bottom of the collective psychosis. Yeah, it is literally at the bottom of all the collective madness that we're playing out in our world, you know, in collective events, in our lives, within our own mind. And so we've made it a huge discovery that I'm just a translator. Every spiritual tradition from time immemorial has been pointing at Ritiko. It's in the apocryphal text. They call it the counterfeiting spirit because it has no creativity, but it's a master impersonator. It puts us on, it fools us, and then when we identify with its fictitious version of ourselves, then it has us. Then it can manipulate and control us. But when we're in touch with our nature, with who we actually are, it has no power over us. And so just a few other things just as a good sort of segue into a deeper discussion.
Yes.
It works through the projective tendencies of the mind because we're always projecting onto the inkblot of the waking life. And it works through the part of us that has these blind spots. It's a form of blindness, but it's a form of blindness that doesn't realize it's blind. And, you know, so, but like I'm saying, encoded in it, it's actually potentially helping us. That's why my whole work is trying to really show people what, you know, it's at, like I'm saying, it's at the bottom of the evil, of the madness. It's a collective psychosis. And the source of it is within our psyche.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
You know what I love about it? So here's the thing that I got this time around with you, because I watched, again, the new Matrix movie. It's like the Matrix. See, you're living in the Matrix, but you don't know.
Right.
Right? You're living in the Matrix. You don't know it's a Matrix. Because every day of your life is that reality of it until you get an inclination, a clue,
yeah,
that it's not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And those synchronistic clues, they're hidden within the fabric of the multidimensional cosmos that we live in. And you know, it's interesting, the Matrix, because that's a perfect symbol. Because what happens, being that it's a collective psychosis, when so many, the majority of people are under the spell of Ritiko, and really what it is that, you know, there's no objective Ritiko virus that people should be afraid of. No, but we ourselves put ourselves under a spell via our own light. And when we're actually in a world where the overwhelming majority of people are under that spell, we're continually reinforcing our blindness and our insanity, and that creates the psychic epidemic, the collective psychosis that is Ritiko. So it's as if our species has fallen under a spell, and I'm trying to, like, help people to show, here's how we can break the spell. You know, it's like a fairy tale that we're living in.
I want to read this from the foreword of the book by Dr. Larry Dossey. This is so beautifully said. Now, if we had done this show like last week, I would have had something different to say. But the fact that we're coming off of one of the most prestigious award ceremonies for artistic creation in film, and Ritiko showed up.
Oh, my God. I'm happy to talk about that. I mean,
I want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you think that something like the Oscars would be benign. But I got this question to ask you. Let me read this and I want to ask you. Okay, so he goes on to say, Ritiko says, is a psychological force within the unconscious mind that predisposes us towards unwholesome impulses such as the thirst for power and control, greed, and jealousy. people who are possessed by Ratiko are deeply selfish. They seldom have any interest in it. It's a stealth factor, he goes on to say. We rarely suspect its presence, even when it affects our own behavior.
Yeah.
Let's just take a quick look. Behavior, Putin, Russia, Ukraine. That's like one thing. That's just one thing. That he was not the only thing. There were things that lead up to that. What happened on our Capitol doorstep, right? And then it hits Hollywood like that?
Yeah. Well, can I say something about that?
You can say anything you want.
Because it's so funny. I was just talking right before the Oscars to a friend of mine who was in Hollywood for 25 years, you know, really accomplished in her field. And she stepped out of it because she was actually seeing the depth of the darkness that was informing a lot of Hollywood. So then I turn on the Oscars, and that happens with Will Smith. And it was wild because, you know, just from my point of view, it was as if Will Smith got possessed by some sort of other force. And yet it was like he was playing a role in an action movie where he was the alpha male and protecting his woman and, you know, and all this stuff. And then just this like rage coming out of him once he sat down. And, you know, I don't know, the incredible reaction. And that's an example like what Tico will exploit. We all have shadow tendencies. But all of a sudden, it'll exploit our unconscious in a way where we indulge in these shadow tendencies and we feed them, and then we act them out such that we become an instrument for, you know, for violence and aggression and hatred and evil in the world, as compared to just, well, you know, Chris Rock makes this joke and like, oh, I'm triggered, or let me deal with what's being triggered in me. Wow, that's kind of uncomfortable. That's a whole different thing, but it was like that didn't happen. That parallel universe didn't happen. It was startling seeing that live play out.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I will say this. Will Smith and the movie have been under attack for months now. The attacks have been on Venus and Serena Williams. I mean, honestly, so you have to ask yourself the question, right, when you're talking about the psyche. You know, he went through the last award ceremony, and Jane Campion made a comment. Because the energy and the force we're talking about doesn't have any boundaries. You know, it doesn't say, oh, wait, I'm not going to do that. My friend texted me because we've been doing shows with some of the parliamentary members of the Ukraine, right, government. And my friend texted me this morning and says, hey, did you see this? That Russia got a bunch of really, just really sustained heavy losses. And what they did is they just thought they would just run over the commander with the tank. What? See, this is what we look at in our world. My concern, help me with this. My concern is that we are going to get numb to it. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I would say we've already gotten anesthetized and numb to it.
I was trying not to admit that to myself, so call me denial today.
Yeah, but that's a form we're having. We all have PTSD. We're all in trauma. Because the horrors of what are playing out in our world every day, there's no let up. It's 24/7. You know, it's the natural response to just sort of shut off or split off or become numb. But that's what Tico, because then when you become numb, you turn a blind eye towards these, you know, towards the evil that's playing out. And what Tico is a form of blindness, that when we turn a blind eye, then we're feeding it. Then we're strengthening it. And so that's why, you know, I'm not the only one. It's like seeing this as a dream, as a collective dream, and interpreting it as such, which would be, you know, the language of dreams, you know, is to see it symbolically. And it's clear that, you know, the shadow, the darkness, both personal shadow for each one of us in our own relationship, in our own selves, and there's a collective shadow that is actually in our face. And I point out again and again that Watiko is this revelation. It's a living revelation. And just, you know, it's not that light just reveals darkness. Light, in this case, is revealing itself through the darkness. That's the point. And that's totally in the Kabbalah. That's in all the mystical texts of every tradition. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and I love what you talk about this, because you talk about, you know, consciousness and restored unity as well in the book. And what you said is so brilliant, because there is so much light. I mean, we can spend, Will Smith was one event. And to be honest with you, I thought it was a joke. So I was still attached to acceptance speeches by a man that could not speak. By Lady Gaga's kindness to Liza Minnelli, by, you know, watching two of our prominent young people win an Oscar for a song, right, for Daniel Craig's. I mean, there is so much to really hold on to, you know, so much to honor in moments that my mind said, oh, that's a skit. They just planned a skit. So it wasn't until, like, later, like this morning, did the news hit me that that was like for real,
right? Right, totally.
But you talk about a way out.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the way out that you talk about, because it is the one thing that kept my company, my passion, purpose, the expansion of our network, the Transformation Network, moving, elevating, growing, staying level in our consciousness. It is the one thing that my entire team did and got together. And I want to talk with you about it. And you mention it. Imagination.
Yeah. Totally. Like, I have a lot to say about that. In other words, because what I was thinking as you were sharing was that, you know, the real cure for Watiko, for all of the myriad, you know, the world crises that are converging on us, that are self-created, is for each one of us to connect with our creativity. We are these creative beings. We're made in the image of our creator, but to the extent we don't know we're creative, so we possess like this incredible superhero power that is ours 24/7. We already have it. We are it. And but to the extent that we're not consciously stepping into our creativity, it gets turned against us in a way that's killing us. And an example, with that counterfeiting spirit in the apocryphal text, that is Watiko. And, of course, it got edited out of the actual canon of the Bible, because I point out that Watiko was on the editorial board, you see, because it can't stand to be seen. When you see it, when you see how it works through informing events in the world and through, you know, triggering unconscious reactions in our minds, because it's non-local, it exists both out in the world and in our minds, at the same time, when you see Watiko, you take away its power and you empower yourself. And then Watiko gets unemployed. So that's why it's always trying to hide itself. And I'm trying to shed light on it and say, look, here's how it works. Think about the counterfeiting spirit. It offers us a fictitious version of ourselves. Oh, I'm limited. I'm wounded. I'm traumatized. And then if we identify with its version of ourselves, we've given ourselves away. We've identified with who we're not. And we've disconnected from our creative power. You know, then Watiko is using our creative power against us. That's a recipe for madness. That's Watiko in a nutshell. And what that's pointing at is that the solution to our world crises is for individually, each one of us, to connect with our nature. Our true nature is, by its nature, creative. The more we connect with our true nature, the more we embody being creative. And the more we express ourselves creatively, the more we know our nature in a self-reinforcing feedback loop that's positive, that actually creates light upon light, when not just one person is doing that, but when more and more of us are connecting with each other. As we're doing that together, we can literally change the waking dream we're having, and that is to consciously step into our evolution. We are actually then participating consciously in our own evolutionary process. That's the solution. That's what's being revealed to us by the Watiko mind epidemic, you know, the collective psychosis, the psychic epidemic. But if we don't get the message, just like a dream, will have a recurring dream, and it'll just get amplified and amplified and more of a nightmare until we get the message. Something is being revealed to us. That's what I'm pointing at again and again.
I love this because I love the chapter of the Masters of Deception.
Right.
I love that. There's a thing that you say here. You say the darker force, by whatever name we call it, can directly communicate with the mind, hiding under the cover of light. It can insert a lie into a person's mind. And if the person's faculty of discernment is sufficiently disabled, which stress, by the way, does,
right,
then they can believe the lie to be true. Hello, 3 years of this, people are stressed, seeing something that this generation has not seen. And so we're in a place now where we are down a court to allow the masters of deception. It's almost like inviting a vampire into your house.
Yeah, well, Watiko is a vampire. So one way of articulating what you were just saying is that the regulatory agencies of our mind, the immune system, the monitoring agencies, which are supposed to keep out invaders or toxins or like negative energies, has been captured. There's been a regulatory capture. So here's Watiko, the mind virus that set up shop within our mind. It's colonized our mind all under the cover of darkness. So we're oblivious to that. And then it sets up this shadow government inside our psyche. It dictates to the ego. And we unwittingly then become an instrument for it to act itself out through us. Now, what I'm just describing, that's fascism. That's, Jung was totally, the great psychiatrist, was totally onto Watiko. He didn't have the name. He called it totalitarian psychosis. Now, what's that? What Watiko is? It's an inner disease of the soul that has this magical ability to extend itself out in the world, the outer world, and configure events in the world so as to reveal, express the very state of the psyche that's under its thrall. What I just described, where the outer world is actually reflecting the inner psyche, that's exactly a description of a dream. You see, Watiko is a dreamed-up phenomena. We are dreaming up the Watiko epidemic moment by moment. What that means is that we can learn how to undream it. But being a dreaming phenomena, Watiko is literally showing us the dreamlike nature. When we recognize the dreamlike nature, that's when we're beginning to wake up, and that's when we're beginning to unlock the most incredible creative agency that we all possess, but we don't know we possess it.
Yeah. And, you go on. I want to talk about this when we come back from break because, you go on to really point out so many things. I mean, I've often wondered, especially when I was younger and I found out about the book According to Thomas. Some people call it Q. You can call it anything you want to call it. But I was always wondering, because I was introduced to it when I was younger. And now, of course, the introduction of it has gotten buried again, but I didn't understand it. And I would go to my pastor, or I would go, I would just say, well, what about this? Well, can you talk about this? Now we have many books. Now we're looking at new messaging coming from Dead Sea Scrolls. Now we're dot, dot, dot. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about something because I think imagination cannot be silenced. And I want to ask you about this.
Yeah, totally.
Do we believe imagination is coming forward in some of the most interesting, not necessarily spiritually, ways, culture? What do we think of imagination and messaging? What if the light now has found a way to encourage us to new ways? What if we can all look at our antiviral treatment that is free and we have to stop disallowing ourselves from stepping into the world of imagination, creativity, innovation, spiritual connection? And will that work? Paul, before we go,
yeah.
What's your website? let's make sure people know how to get your website and how to get your contact.
Yeah, sure. If people, if they want to awaken in the dream, they should go to awakeninthedream.com.
And when we come back, we'll give a copy of the book away. Hey, anybody out there, do you relate to something that I'm about to say? Mind parasites. You like that one? Wait till you hear what we're going to talk about when we come back, right? You got any of that going on up here? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you crave a life that doesn't involve constant burnout, stress, and overwhelm? This is what Sacred Attunement is all about. Asher Countryman is a stress management wellness coach and the creator of Unlock Your Personal Power. Are you ready to engage in a vibrant, happy, healthy lifestyle? Start your journey now by booking a complimentary Unlock Your Power Clarity Call with Asher at sacredattunement.com.
Are you looking to gain wisdom and commit to discovering your best self? What does success mean to you? With authenticity, integrity, and compassion, Nita Johnson helps guide you in working towards your unique vision of success. Nita is a spirit-based intuition lead and success coach. Work with Nita to uncover your unique life purpose. Schedule a free discovery call with Nita at personalwisdomcoachingnow.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Ally Effect with Allison's Life, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories to teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Introducing The Brilliant Black Man Show with Melissa Johnson. Tune in as Melissa shares the stories of successful black men across the country. This show is designed to change the narrative of how black men are portrayed in the world. The show will highlight their brilliance and how they are making a difference in their family, community, boardroom, and the world. For more information on the show, visit WildMinistriesLLC.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm so glad, Paul. Thank you so much. One more time. How do we get a copy of the book? How do we find out more about you? Any and all things you do? Because, you know, part of this is you also offer classes. There are other things outside of writing great books.
Yeah, so they can just go to awakeninthedream.com. And there's a ton of stuff, you know, for free. Articles, interviews. I just want to get this information out because it's medicine.
I love it. And, you know, look, I was reading about, you know, and shared with the listeners. And, Benny, let's give a copy of the book away. 1-800-930-2819. Say hi to Benny and would love to give a first caller a copy of the book. But, you know, you take us on this journey, everything from taking a look at the mind and, you know, taking a look at, you know, the disrupting agencies to then asking the question, mind parasites, Are we humans terminally insane or just waking up?
Yeah.
That's like a chicken and egg question, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing about Watiko is a quantum phenomenon. You know, and I read a whole book about quantum physics, but in essence, what I mean when I say that is just like, you know, when you study what is the nature of light, well, sometimes it manifests as a wave, sometimes as a particle. It depends how it's being observed. Same thing with Watiko. There's a superposition of states. It's the source of the greatest evil that can destroy us and the most sublime blessing and creativity. And it all depends on whether we recognize what it's revealing to us. And, you know, and then getting back to what you said about the imagination before, right before the break,
yeah.
The thing is, the imagination is the greatest threat to Watiko. That's why it tries to destroy the imagination, and we feel stuck or blocked or whatever. And that's why it's so important to cultivate, you know, the real imagination, not like alchemy talks about there's the false imagination. No, the real imagination is interfacing with, you could say, with God, in that, you see, so many of us, we feel in our lives we've had experiences that when we've stepped into our creativity and our imagination, we get squashed or judged or, you know, put down, and then we shut it off. But if it's the true creativity and the true creative imagination, it can't be kept down for long. It'll find a new channel to express itself. And that's why it's so profoundly important. We're all artists. We're all creative artists. We're all actually these wounded healers in training. We're like shamans.
Yeah.
And I can go into that, you know, in great depth. But the point is that one of the, you know, the greatest danger in the world of shamanism or healers is if a person stays ignorant of their abilities to be a healer and to be a shaman and to be an alchemist. And that's another way of talking about what I'm trying to bring forth in my work.
You know, I love that you call out part of this through the cancer of the soul, when you talk about a cancer of the soul.
Yeah.
I want to make that connection. I want to make the connection between everything we've just talked about, and especially
right.
about the mind, to now talking about it being the cancer of the soul, especially when you reference, I think you call it the lie. The
yeah.
lie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right. Well, like, you know, the lie, that's Jung's quote on describing shadow projection.
Yep.
He calls it the lie, and who's the liar but the devil? So in other words, like, when we scapegoat and project out our own shadow, then we're in cahoots unwittingly with the devil. That's the psychological dynamic that underlies Watiko. And and then just think about in our world today with all the misinformation and the incredible lying, you know, and of course then what happens, our minds get muddled. We can't discern what's true from what's not true, and it just creates confusion. And then because of that cosmic dissonance, we split or numb or become unconscious. And as soon as we do that, we then become a vector for Watiko to act itself out through us.
And, you know, part of this, too, is you go on to talk about, you know, the implications of this. And one of them is Watiko and addiction. And I think we need
totally.
To take a moment and talk about that, because the rate of addiction, and I say that term loosely, and my phrase includes now, in the modern world, drugs, alcohol, food, digital media. Like, you cannot not sleep without your phone. That's like crazy. Like, have
right.
your phone by your head. But addiction, is this the new playground for Watiko?
Yeah, well, it's not just like all those things you mentioned, but it's an addiction to our process or to our suffering or to our sense of identity. You know, it's endless. And I point out in my book, you know, that addiction, and that's related to trauma. You know, the two really are just two ways of talking about a similar thing. The thing which is so interesting is that when we're acting out our addiction or when we're in trauma, the way we act out actually is, like, within trauma, for example, we'll try to heal our trauma and we'll act out in a way that recreates the very trauma we're trying to heal from, just like addiction. Every time we enact our addiction, we're strengthening its hold over us in a self-reinforcing feedback loop. But we are, said the origin of that process is ourselves. We are, you see, the thing about Watiko that I keep on trying to point out is that to shed light on how we're colluding with it, it has no power over us, but it hooks us through our blind spots such that we're complicit, you know, and then we're unwittingly investing it with power over us when we're the ones who have, ultimately speaking, the power, because people feel so helpless with what's happening in the world. That's the Watiko, that's the publicity campaign of Watiko. No, each one of us have this enormous creative power. That's what quantum physics discovered, that, you know, being that this is a collective dream and that the act of observing this dream actually influences the dream, you know, I mean, that's the real essence of quantum physics. That's pointing out that the act of observation is creative, that we have this enormous creative power by how we interpret reality, the meaning we place on our experience. But because we're not awake to it, we feel victimized and we feel like we're just passive observers. No, we're the dreamers. And once enough of us recognize that, we can come together, and it's what I call, we can dream ourselves awake. And that, I'm saying, that's evolutionary. That's what this is all about.
Talk about, from your perspective, people can read the book for sure. What do you see are our greatest challenges and our greatest gifts to wipe out the virus? I want to hear what you're thinking about, where we sit right now today.
Our greatest challenges as individuals is to deal with our own suffering and to deal with our own pain and to deal with our own darkness. And to the extent we're genuinely doing that work, we're slowly, like that cancer that's sort of doing this, you know, that's metastasizing through the greater body politic of the world, including our minds. When we're doing our work, we're alchemically transmuting that into light, into the light of our nature. So on the one hand, there's that, you know, that's, I see that as the greatest challenge, and to not fall into despair and pessimism, because there's overwhelming evidence that, oh my God, things are really dark and we're going to hell in a handbasket. So, but as soon as we fall into pessimism, then we've unwittingly offered ourselves for, you know, to be a conduit for Watiko. And, but the greatest, you know, the medicine or the blessing is for us to have the courage to really connect with our calling. Being these wounded healer shaman sorts, you know, because that's the major archetype that's activated in the collective unconscious. And, you know, I can talk a lot more about that. But the idea is that, do we have enough courage to assent and cooperate with our deeper calling? You know, we each have a role to play. And it's not like people have to write books or be on the world stage. No, just being a good person or good father or mother, that itself could be your role. But to really have the courage to connect, not with the version, the image of yourself that the world has told you you should be, but to actually step into who you actually are and find your mission, whatever that vocation is, that connects you with, you know, your inner guide and, you know, your guiding spirit, whatever you call it. And that then will introduce you to your creativity, because creativity is not just something that's a personal thing or that you can access by your intellect or your conscious ego. No, it's actually, it's allowing yourself to be an instrument for something to come through you. And when enough of us do that, and particularly when we connect with each other, that becomes a virus that's contagious, but it's a positive. It's an antivirus to the mind virus.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about this a minute, because I've done a couple of shows recently where I've gotten several emails from listeners, and I'm going to paraphrase for you. One of them was, hey, Dr. Pat, you know, you've talked about purpose a lot, and from where you sit, it looks like you've got that going on. And I replied back to our listener and actually spoke with her. I used to clean bathrooms, to sell hot dogs. I used to do whatever I needed to do at different times in my life. And whatever people are doing, you see, somehow we have come up with this judgmental universal law. that says you can't be the superhero of your life because your status is less than. And I think that is so viral in all of us, where we cannot appreciate who we are and where we are. Because I'll tell you, Paul, if for the first 40 years of my life, if I was not fully focused and dedicated to the purpose of the moment that I was in, whether it was cleaning fish at a fish counter and hanging octopus up in the cage for holiday season and smelling like fish most of the time, right? Whatever I did, there was a sense about it. But we're confused. Now, cleaning fish was not going to be my life's purpose. By the way, I almost lost my finger. Clearly, that was not a skill for me. But we have to help people hold on. And we have to help them imagine. And I wanted to talk to you about that antiviral.
Yeah,
because
I can
have to have this. Okay.
Yeah, when I, you know, because I work with a lot of people. I have a private practice and all these groups and classes and stuff. And invariably with everybody, it comes down to everybody has this, you know, creative part and, oh, I have this vision, this dream. But then invariably it gets right to that edge of, oh, what's stopping you? You know, what's the story that you've internalized? Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'll be judged. Oh, you know, it won't be perfect. There's a litany of stories, but then we invest those stories with the reality, and that's where we're colluding with what's ego. And what I'm pointing at is that when you really shed light on those stories, they're a lie. They're not true in the moment. And if you're able, and what I've learned as a creative person, when I sit down, because every morning is when I write, and when I sit down to write, invariably I feel this incredible resistance every morning. But I've learned to not get seduced by it, to not indulge it. And then, you know, I just find myself and I'm in my writing and it vaporized. But what I've learned is that the greater the resistance, the greater the potential breakthrough if you stay with it, you know. And just to associate for a second, there was a number of years ago where, you know, I have these teachers, these great spiritual teachers from Tibet. And I would be going to them, and I was really struggling. You know, there was a lot of trauma in my life and abuse and wounding. And so every time I would be sharing with them the pain I was in and the suffering and you know, these demons and the dark forces. And one day they said to me something that I'll never forget. They said, Paul, it's because you have such potential for light that the demons are even interested. Okay. And now that recontextualizes everything, not just for me, but that's everyone's experience. And all of a sudden then, if you're feeling these obscuring demonic forces that are wanting, you know, that are stopping you, you know, from, you know, fulfilling your mission, instead of just interpreting it like, you know, pathologizing yourself and feeling, wow, I'm really screwed up. No, now I understand. I can interpret it like, wow, I'm clearly on the right path. Of course these demons are coming, wanting, you know, attacking me because they're threatened, because I'm so close to connecting with the light. So then I see it as like, actually, wow, this is like catalyzing me to continue and take the next step.
It's fascinating. I think I mentioned during the break that I work with women all walks of life. And what I found was a common denominator to really understand each other was through things that people do, movies, films, television series, things that if you're working with a group of people, books that they're reading, they could agree upon. And what I love about it is when you pick something that's benign, and what I mean by that is the movie's not about you, unless it is about you, but it's not really. There's a way that we can project and really take a deeper look at things. And what's so fascinating about where we are now is we have an explosion of digital material. And yet, I know I'm going to get an email about this, and yet even with all the digital platforms, Facebook, right, we needed one more because Batiko could not hang out in those other places so well anymore. So we had to create another one that allowed people to be more raw, that allowed a different side of people, that allowed something that wasn't being done in the gazillion other social media platforms, and that's TikTok. And it's fascinating to see how we keep regenerating, 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 shadow light, shadow light, shadow light, shadow light. Can we get to the light without the shadow?
Yeah, well, the thing is, the light, like the Kabbalah points out again and again, you know, they have a phrase, the descent on behalf of the ascent, is that the light, the true light, is to be found in the shadow.
Yep.
You know? So it's like instead of in the time of Christ, where like God is coming down from the heavens through, you know, light, no, God is coming up. It's called, you know, the hidden God, the dark God, the Deus Absconditus, where it actually is emerging from the underworld, you know, through our unconscious, through the shadow, that the shadow is this revelation. It's revealing. It's what I was saying before, that, you know, it's not just that that light mm-hmm. reveals darkness, but that mm-hmm. light is revealed through the darkness. And that's, you know, the Gnostic understanding, the alchemical understanding, that's wisdom.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening when you see this, what's happening in the greater body politic of our world, when you see it from like a higher point of view, you understand, oh yeah, there's things look terrible from one superficial dimension, all this evil and madness, but potentially encoded in that, we are potentially awakening. Yeah. And I say potential because that's very, that's quantum, a quantum term, because everything is in potentiality, you know, exists in a state of potentiality in the quantum world. And the idea being is that we are the co-dreamers of what's happening. What's going to happen? Are we going to continue to be, because it's not just like we're unconscious. It's as if there's some sort of negative energy that's trying to keep us asleep. And I'm just trying to point light on that because that's what takes away its power, you know? And so the question is, are we terminally ill, like you had quoted that title of my chapter, or are we waking up? And that's yet to be seen. But I'm really on the side of, no, we already are awake, you know, and we can just remember that, remember who we are, connect with other people who are doing that. Then we can conspire to co-inspire each other. That's a conspiracy theory. We can activate this genius, the collective genius that gets, you know, online and activated when enough of us come together who are awakening. That's the antiviral for the mind virus.
Mm-hmm. I love it because you really bring it back again when you talk about the coronavirus, because then you ask the question a different way. Does the coronavirus inspire optimism or pessimism?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's exactly. That's another way of saying it. And the danger is if we get caught in pessimism, then being dreamlike, we're going to attract to ourselves all the evidence confirming our pessimism, and it becomes a self-generating feedback loop whose origin is our own mind. But here's where I want to bring in quantum physics, because quantum physics is saying, hey, you have this universe is made of quantum entities, which actually exist in a state of potentiality. Any and every way they can potentially manifest, they exist in that potential state until the moment that we observe them. Then they actualize into one particular manifestation, and all the other potentialities, they just vaporize in these parallel worlds as if they never existed. But what the founding fathers of quantum physics were saying was that even if one of those potentialities is highly ridiculously unlikely, it could still manifest, be the one that manifests this very moment. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that, for example, the idea or the actuality of our species actually waking up sufficiently and having a global awakening, the quantum physicists would say, oh, that's absolutely within the realm of possibility. And if you're not investing your attention in that, then what are you thinking? Then you're unwittingly serving the darkness.
Wow. Paul, thank you so much for today. I know you've got to run, but before you go, please let folks know how they can get a copy of your book and also how they can find out more about you.
Sure. Well, I'm just hoping that my book is available in every bookstore throughout the multiverse, mm-hmm. all the different galaxies. And if they want to contact me or, you know, whatever, or see all these articles or other interviews, they should just go to my website, awakeninthedream.com. And like I was saying, I'm so much of it is just for free. It's not monetized really at all. I mean, you know, if they want to buy an autographed copy, I'm happy to do that. But I just want to get this information out because people, so many people are you know, getting incredible benefit. And that's why I'm just wanting to share this with everyone. So thank you so much.
Yeah. I have one last question. I'd love to know your personal message and what you'd like to leave us with today.
Yeah. And that is that, you know, there's no reason to feel despondent or depressed or pessimistic or anything like that. That the fact that the darkness is so intense in our world, you know, that's an expression that an incredibly strong light is really nearby. And if you focus on the darkness, you're going to, like I'm saying, you're just going to create all the confirmation proving, you know, the objective reality of your point of view, and then you're taking yourself down. There's no one else who's doing that. But if you actually see, oh, wow, this is like triggering me and touching different parts of me, what's that about? And all of a sudden, instead of focusing on the, because Watiko works through distracting us and putting our attention outside of ourselves, but if then we actually place our attention in what inside of us is being triggered and touched, that becomes a doorway to deepen our connection with who we are. Mm. And so it's actually an incredible opportunity for us, you know, to really deepen our awakening, connect with our creativity, and connect with each other. And, you know, in essence, one final thing, the Watiko virus is really, in essence, it's a misidentification of who we think we are. If we think we're a separate self, as soon as I'm identified with being a separate self, then you're an other. As soon as you're an other, there's fear. And then if I indulge in that fear, that's the superfood for Watiko. Then I'm feeding Watiko. But if we actually see the dreamlike nature, and so you're a dream character in my dream, I'm a dream character in your dream, and then to see the dreamlike nature is to actually snap out of the imagination that we exist separate from each other and to recognize the actuality of our situation, that we're interconnected, we're interdependent. The expression of that is an open heart filled with compassion. That's the medicine. That dissolves Watiko. So that would be my final thing. Yeah, so
thank you. Thank you so much, Paul, for joining us.
For sure.
Yeah, thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on. And one of the things I'm really struck by, let me leave you with this. There have been people that have inspired us. Some of them you may know. Some of them you may not. Some of them have made it to quite high levels of notoriety. Some of them have made it to those levels, but you really don't know who they are. And I want to leave you with this. They don't have anything different than you or me or Benny or Jacob or any of us. Every one of us has that level to create and imagine. You can be your own Stan Lee. You can be your own person of astonishment. You can do that. And to quote, you know, a friend of mine and colleague of mine, do something outrageous each day to remind yourself of how creative you are. And remember, be of service and fill your tank first. We'll see you next time.